Welcome to Trinity.
In the season of Thanksgiving, we're thankful that you've joined us today.
Good evening. Happy Thanksgiving. What a joy it is to be with all of you tonight, especially since I've taken the last couple weeks off, and it's wonderful to come back to be with you in the middle of a celebration like this. And what better place to be than here to celebrate Thanksgiving? There's lots of reasons to get excited about Thanksgiving. You know, for a lot of people in the country, this is the beginning of the holiday season, and it's a time to take some extra days off of work or something like that. But for us, we are so thankful to our Lord for everything that He has provided. And all of those things are kind of represented by this wonderful display that we have up here in the front. I wanted to actually begin with some thoughts from Martin Luther. Even though Martin Luther didn't celebrate a national day of Thanksgiving in 16th century Germany, we think about the blessings that God gives to us in terms of daily bread. So I wanted to share these words from the Catechism in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." This is what Luther says. What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread. That's why we're here tonight. Worship. That's what Thanksgiving is. It's worship. It's a prayer to God to recognize all the blessings He has given to us. So for our order of service, we'll follow what's printed for you in the bulletin. Hopefully you receive one of those on your way in. I'll invite you to stand as we begin our service tonight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. God defends me against all danger. Worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We speak the words of the introit responsively. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. These all look to you. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. For our hymn of praise, we'll now turn to hymn number 940, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. Heavenly Father, you daily give us all we need for our bodies and our souls. Move us to be thankful people for every blessing your hands shower down on us. Keep us mindful of your love and grace in every gift. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. Our Old Testament reading appointed for Thanksgiving Eve comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 days in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He gives to the beasts their food. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. The epistle is from St. Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. Our sermon hymn tonight is number 773, "Hear Us, Father, When We Pray." Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon tonight comes from the epistle reading, from this passage from 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul is writing to his young colleague, protege in the ministry, Timothy, and in this section of the letter, he's encouraging him to give thanksgiving for all people and all things and circumstances. And we think about that, and of course, we know that that's sometimes easier said than done. I mean, not everything in the world, not everything in our experience brings us joy, and yet we are called to be thankful for all of it and for all people. And what we find is that the Lord has actually blessed all people. He's blessed the world. He does not show partiality in where he decides to bring his blessings into this world. And we certainly give thanks to God for that, because that has implications for our salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So this is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, tonight we're celebrating a day that is actually not technically a church holiday, I put that in quotes, yet at the same time I can't think of a better place for us to be right now, and don't be shocked by me saying that, by the way. What I mean when I say Thanksgiving is not a church holiday, I just mean when you think about the church, like big capital C, the Christian church. It's really a global, universal church, right? There's Christians in every little pocket, every little corner of the world, in places beyond the United States of America, right? And while at the same time, Thanksgiving Day is not something that's celebrated in all of those little corners and all of those little pockets. Thanksgiving is actually more of an American holiday, right? It was actually started originally by our first president, George Washington, back in 1789, but it became this annual celebration that we're used to because of our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, back in 1863. So when you just think about that, you think about kind of the origins of having a national day of Thanksgiving in America, and then you think about, you know, the context of what America is like now in 2022, it's almost kind of mind-blowing that we still have so many people in this country that want to celebrate a day like Thanksgiving. We are this giant melting pot of different cultures and peoples and religions and people who worship God and people who don't believe in God, and yet it seems like most people want to still take a whole day out of the year to be thankful, whatever that means to each person, but to be thankful, to have the things they have, and to live the way that we live in this country. It's really kind of a unique thing. But we here know best why we gather, right? We gather for Thanksgiving, and we have a completely different reason for doing so, and this is probably just kind of obvious, but I'll say it out loud anyway. We know who it is that we need to be giving thanks to. That's kind of the whole point. We understand, like I said before, we talk about it in terms of daily bread, that our Heavenly Father extends his hand and brings to all of us these things that support our bodies and our lives, and they all come from him. He's created us. He sustains his creation with all of his love and all of his grace and all of his mercy. So when we gather for Thanksgiving, it's more than just about turkey and just about watching the Macy's parade tomorrow morning and just about football, right? I mean, it might include those things, and that's okay. But we understand first and foremost that all good things come from God. They come from the Lord. That's why we came to church tonight. That's why tomorrow, when you sit around the table and you're about to have your meal, you will most likely pray and give thanks to God for that blessing. That's why, for us, Thanksgiving is so much more than just an American secular holiday that's on your calendar. So our epistle reading tonight from this letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, I think, does a pretty good job of helping us to think through what it must have been like for Timothy living in a society that's sort of like ours. If you think about the world that Timothy was living in and preaching in and doing his ministry in, there are some similarities. It's not exactly the same as what we experience now, but there are some similarities. Timothy, if you don't know, was living and preaching in a city called Ephesus. And in those days, it was a very relatively small population of Christians that he was ministering to compared to the rest of the city around him, which was just completely filled with Greek pagans. And so Christianity was not really well respected in Ephesus. It certainly didn't have a lot of influence or anything like that. In fact, Christians in Ephesus could expect to be persecuted, mocked, ridiculed by the majority of the people around them. So our society that we live in today, it's not nearly as bad as that, but it wouldn't take a lot of imagination on our parts to just kind of picture what the situation must have been like for the people that Timothy was ministering to and the people that he was preaching to. So what is the thing that St. Paul encourages Timothy to do and for Timothy to encourage his people to do? What is the main thing that we're talking about here? Well, he talks about prayer, first and foremost. That's really the whole theme throughout this passage here. He tells these people of God to pray. And not just any kind of prayer either, but like all different kinds of prayers, right? We're talking about prayers of supplication. We're talking about prayers of intercession and petitions. And yes, it even mentions thanksgivings, right? To give thanks. And to give thanks for who? Well, it says for all people. Well, he clearly just means the Christian people, right? Like this small group of Christians. He's talking about the fellow believers, isn't he? Nope. It says all people. Every single one of them. And he even mentions kings here and the ones who are in high positions. Guess who was the king, or rather I should say the emperor of the Roman Empire at the time that Paul wrote these words to Timothy? Nero! Nero! If you know anything about Nero, it's this. He was not a Christian. He was actually one of the worst persecutors of Christians in all of history. Nero was the guy that was in charge when St. Peter was martyred, when Paul himself, who wrote these words, was martyred. Give thanks for Nero! That's really amazing when you think about it. So we read those words in that context from Paul on Thanksgiving Eve here, and I think it gives us another reason to see how when we gather to celebrate Thanksgiving as Christians, we're doing it in a way that's different from the rest of the country around us. Because it's also for us a day when we recognize that our God, who has loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and take away our sins, also gives good things to other people that are not part of our Christian bubble. He gives good things to the rest of the world too. Because we have faith, we're pretty good, I think, at recognizing the good things that God gives to us in our lives, right? I mean, we recognize God has placed us in good families, and he's given us a place to live, and he gives us food, and he gives us shelter, and he gives us everything we need. And then you can kind of like bump that up to, you know, the congregational level, right? How all of us together as we worship here at Trinity, we can certainly recognize all the blessings that we have around here. We've got this exciting and thriving ministry and such a great school with great students and faculty and staff, and everybody is just anxious to share the love of God with his people. We have an army of volunteers who serve on boards and committees and do everything they can to make this ministry keep going, right? We could talk about all the blessings that we have here the rest of the night, but probably shouldn't do that because I know you guys need to get home, you got big plans tomorrow, but you know what I'm saying? We got lots going on around here, lots of blessings in our homes, in our church. But my point is, you can see how that is contrasted from so many other people who are going to be sitting down tomorrow for Thanksgiving meal, And they're not even really going to understand because they don't have faith. They're not going to know where it is or who it is that's given them these blessings. People who will be saying, I'm thankful outwardly, saying I'm grateful outwardly, but inwardly actually hate the very one who has given them their blessings. And hate those of us who worship that God as well. So what do we do about that? Well, we can go back to this epistle. And we can go back to that one word that keeps coming up over and over and over again here, and that's the word all. Right? Paul urges that prayers be made for all people. In verse 1, for all who are in high positions. In verse 2, in verse 4, we see that God desires that all people would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And in verse 6, Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all. It's pretty clear that God's blessings and our prayers of thanksgiving in response to those blessings are not intended to be limited just to those who are in our little Christian bubble. As we know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross was made so that the sins of all people could be forgiven. So that's why you and I especially need to be praying for those who are not yet believers in the one true God. Certainly, we pray that they would repent and believe, that they would join us in giving thanks for the right reasons, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but all other days as well. Now, we don't do this perfectly. I think we can recognize that. I think even on a day that is specifically set aside to give thanks, to be thankful, I think we still can recognize that sometimes it is a struggle for us. Sometimes it's hard for us to really feel thankful for everything that we experience in the world. And we notice that the values of the majority don't necessarily line up with our values. And we notice that there are laws that get enacted that don't seem to uphold true morality. When we think about the rampant consumerism that has taken hold of this country and how we've got the holiday Christmas shopping season coming up and Black Friday's just in a couple days and all of that stuff. And we can sort of get wrapped up in that ourselves, or we might even get discouraged by that at times. But let's think about it a different way. The problems that we face in this world are not everybody else's fault out there. But every single one of us in this room was at one time just as evil, just as selfish, just as rebellious as we perceive the rest of the society to be. All of us were born spiritually dead. All of us were born in desperate need of a Savior. And if it wasn't God's will that all people should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, then we wouldn't have had any hope either. We'd still be lost. It's true, most of us were brought to the baptismal font at a very young age. Many of us as infants, and so faith in Jesus is really all we've ever known. But it doesn't matter whether you came to faith as a little child or whether you came to faith as an adult. All of us can recognize that it's all about God's grace. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't stand a chance. And if Jesus Christ wasn't sent to be the one mediator between us and God, like it says here in verse 5, to be a ransom for all, then we would still be hopeless and spiritually lifeless. So we give thanks because God has been merciful to us too. And we give thanks that God still is merciful even to those who do not yet recognize him. We give thanks for the blessings in our lives, but most importantly, we give thanks for the faith that we've been given and for the sacrifice that Christ has made. And as we celebrate tonight and we celebrate tomorrow, we need to also remember the rest of the world. Let God's word spoken through Paul speak to us. And let's pray for everyone, whether they are fellow Christians or not. Let's be thankful. because God desires that all would be saved. And so many out there have not yet heard the good news of the gospel. Happy Thanksgiving to all. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. This time we'll speak the words of our common Christian faith along with millions of Christians around the world. Tonight we use the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we raise our voices in thanksgiving for your blessings. Once again, the earth has yielded its increase by your undeserved kindness. Hear us in your Son's name. Be gracious to us and shine your face upon us, Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our God, since we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of your mouth, bless those you send to proclaim your word, that we may hear it and live, Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, watch over the homes of your people, that they would be places of blessing and love. We pray that husbands and wives would cherish each other and honor their vows of faithfulness. We ask you to bless the children given to their care, Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks, O God, that you have kept us safe from our enemies. Continually defend us against all who threaten violence and war. Bless Joe Biden, our president, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Make the nations to dwell in peace, Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, have compassion on the sick and suffering, especially all those who are on our prayer list, those who are in care facilities, including Marlene, Thretta, Bill, Richard, Jim, Imogene, and Brian. And we also lift before you all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Daryl, Joan, Roy, Bobby, Amy, Eric, Patrick, Tiffany, Beulah, Carolyn, Doug, Roy, Dorothy, Jamie Lynn, Wayne, Corey, Michael, Linda, Sam, Charlie, Shoei, Judy, Bill, and all those who are fighting cancer. Bring healing to all in need according to your will, and deliver them from their afflictions. Give them a patient heart in adversity and grace to sustain them in the day of trouble. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, graciously remember the needs of your children. Sustain the weary with hope. Lead your church to be generous in their support of the poor and the hungry. And bring an end to all jealousy and strife, Lord, in your mercy. God of comfort, bless those who mourn. With confidence in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, receive our thanks together with the whole church for those who have gone before us in the faith, Lord, in your mercy. These and whatever else you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. And at this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with a special Thanksgiving offering. For our offertory this evening, we turn now to hymn number 806, and we sing together, "Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart." Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God of all grace, govern our hearts that we may never forget your blessings, but steadfastly thank and praise you for all your goodness in this life, until with all your saints we praise you eternally in your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. On behalf of all of us at Trinity Lutheran Church and School, we want to wish you and your family a very happy and blessed Thanksgiving. And our closing hymn tonight is going to be number 895, "Now Thank We All Our God."
Thank you.
please stand.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
We hope to see you next week. Have a blessed week.